We welcome you to this worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, August 16th, 2020. Thank you for joining us. We hope that these podcasts continue to be a blessing to you whenever and wherever you have the opportunity to listen in. We do want to update one prayer need for the week. Marian Youngquist, a former member of our congregation, is requesting prayers for some dental surgery that she is undergoing. It's not the most uncomplicated thing, and so she has asked for prayers of covering for her dental surgeons and for her recovery. So please keep Marian in your prayers in the upcoming days and weeks. We also want to commend to you our mission of the month, Opportunity International, and ask that you go online to opportunityinternational.org and check out the ministry that they do, also to see the wonderful impact that they are having around the world on behalf of Jesus Christ in the financial underpinning of families and others in countries that are often at a loss for that sort of activity and that kind of financial support. And so they do splendid work, and we commend them to you. We begin now our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please now take a few moments for silent reflection. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To carry everything to
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, increase in us your gifts of faith, hope, and love. And in order that love may abide in us, help us to celebrate what your love has done for us. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 56. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. The foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 67 responsively. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us.
So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations.
May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you.
May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth.
May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you.
The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us.
May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 11. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people, whom he foreknew. Don't you know what Scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? I am talking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? As far as the gospel is concerned, there are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. and her daughter was healed at that moment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do you have a dog? What do you feed your dog? Canned dog food? Dry dog food? Do you even feed some scraps from the table? Most vets say that you should not feed your dog table scraps. Why? They say the table scraps are not intended for dogs and may not provide what a dog needs. That may be true, but just try to convince your dog. They sit by the table watching you enjoy a juicy steak. Maybe the meal was not intended for them, but that doesn't keep them from sitting by the table, begging for a little scrap, just hoping that one small bite might fall off the floor for them. In our gospel story today, Jesus was preaching and telling everyone about the great things God has done. When people saw that Jesus was healing the sick, they wanted help, so they followed him everywhere he went. That would get kind of annoying, don't you think? Anyway, one day there was a woman who came to Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter. Jesus exclaimed to the woman that his first mission on earth was to preach to the people. The woman refused to give up. She came closer, knelt down, and begged, saying, "Please help me, Lord." Jesus replied, "It isn't right to take food from children to feed it to the dogs." The woman answered Jesus and said, "Lord, that's true, but even dogs get the crumbs that fall off their owner's table." Jesus was so touched by the faith of the woman that he told her, because of her faith, her daughter would be healed. Even though Jesus came first to preach to other people, he loves us so much that he shares his love with all of us. I guess we are a little bit like the dog. Even though the meal was not prepared specifically for us, it doesn't keep us from enjoying it. We gladly sit at Jesus' feet and thankfully receive whatever crumbs might fall from the table. Now let's have a pray after Megan prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much that you share your Son with the whole world. Thank you for all that you give us. In your name, we pray and play. Amen.
In my first parish in Nebraska, we had a ministerial association, pastors who'd meet every now and then to pray together, talk shop, rough out plans for an annual sacred music song fest during the county fair, and keep our congregations aware of our food shelf. We pastors were the first call for help if someone needed it. Most of the time, that meant someone who, by one set of complex circumstances or another, made their way to the confluence of U.S. Highway 281 and State Highway 12, otherwise known as Spencer, Nebraska, and tried to make those circumstances a bit more bearable by asking for a church and a pastor. Most of the transients were men and would roll into town in cars held together with wire and tape. Most asked for a bed to sleep on for the night, a tank of gas, and so we'd call over to the Skyline Motel and the owner would usually say yes, and then we'd fill up their tank and then it was off to the Tin Man Cafe. I wasn't always in the best of moods when one showed up at my church or got sent to the parsonage after asking around at the Senex station up the block, but most took just about an hour or so of your time to get them settled into the motel, hear their story, and scratch your head over how someone could get so twisted up in this life. Then they were off, disappearing into the next morning. But one gentleman I remember well, because he was, incredibly, on foot, heading from Ohio to Arizona, and evidently thinking he had a better shot at it by making his way south by first heading north. The cafe owner didn't mind feeding our guests, But when she was tending the place alone, as she often was in the afternoon, she asked if we pastors would stick around until the guest was through. So I nursed a cup of coffee while my afternoon guest downed a couple of cheeseburgers and a malt. He was sort of edgy the whole time, his conversation circular, his concentration pretty much limited to his meal. But if you were hungry, I suppose that made sense. He kept his suitcase on his lap the whole time. The next morning, I stopped by the motel to see him off, took him over for some breakfast, and he asked if I could get him a new pair of socks, a cap, and some chapstick for his sun and wind-dried lips. When I got back, I offered to give him a Bible and have a prayer with him if he wanted. He did. Then he asked if I would give him a lift to the next town. I didn't usually do that, but this time I agreed. So he got into my car and offered to put his suitcase in the back seat as we drove 10 miles west to Butte. But he insisted on keeping it on his lap, staring at it like he had his dinner the night before, and that made me nervous. I started thinking that in addition to a wandering soul, I might have an unstable mind on my hands. My car didn't care much, or I didn't care much if he took my car, and I knew enough people in Butte to get a ride home if he needed be, but I was just kind of afraid that inside that suitcase was something in there that might get me shot. It was only Thursday morning, and I didn't have my sermon for Sunday done yet, so that would have been rather inconvenient. Well, I got him to Butte, glad that by this time in my call I knew the road and its curves, because I tell you, I hardly ever took my eye off that suitcase of his the whole 10 miles. Returning to Spencer and my sermon, I thought about the story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman. This story from Matthew 15 presents to us a lady that pretty much seemed a bother to the disciples. Those fellows seem to have only had a one-size-fits-all solution to human need. Send those needy humans away. And again, it seems Jesus knew she was just what they needed. No sense speculating on how she knew that the vision of God for the world included her, if indeed it includes anyone, or the compassion of God had room for her daughter, or that the power of God had the wherewithal to do something about what hurts in this world. It's not clear if she'd ever read Isaiah 56 about foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, or had memorized Psalm 67 with its promise, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth." But then it's not clear that the disciples, who should have known these passages, did so either. It's good to know your Bible, and it's even better to do what it says. But this woman believed that Christ could help her, that God could change things in her life, and in that, apparently, her faith was greater than that of the Bible-reading disciples. And that is where this story comes full circle toward you and I. We are conditioned to ignore some folks, but as Christians, we are commissioned to serve them for Jesus' sake and believe that when God changes things for the better for them, he does so for us all. We have been conditioned to keep some folks at a healthy distance. But how do you do that and at the same time fulfill the pinnacle of Matthew's story, that thing we call the Great Commission? Now, we could easily pause here and rehearse what has become a tiresome ritual of figuring out who is schooling whom these days in the true love of God. Virtually anybody could give you 3 or 4 categories of people who have either been shamelessly excluded from the church or are the ones responsible for folks choosing to stay away from the church. Everyone has someone they keep an eye on or have formed an opinion about these days, and that may be our biggest challenge of all, because the only opinion that ought to matter as the one God has formed of us. Yet we often look at others, and I repeat, you probably have some of your own and are on someone else's list, but we look nervously or angrily like the disciples of Jesus did. Well, like I did when I gave a ride to a gentleman whose name I've long forgotten, but whose suitcase I never will. Folks all come with baggage, just that some of it is more evident than others. But men and women who've been conditioned to ignore and be wary of, Jesus commissions us to invite, welcome, and witness to, doing our best to include them in our hamlet of the kingdom of God as we have been included. Every last one of us, as our lesson from Romans says, have been disobedient. Every one of us has started off life far off from God, but live under what Paul calls an irrevocable call and gift. You all know in our country we've got an election coming up, and that means that some folks are going to be unelected. That never happens to someone elected by God. The Jew first, in a manner that perplexed Paul, but which he conceded God and God alone will work out, but also those of us elected to salvation by the decision Jesus made to die on a cross. A Christian is nothing other than a person who a holy God could have easily ignored, to whom instead he gave peace, purpose, and possibility by means of one rather simple confession. Lord, help me. Sometimes that's all the faith a person can muster. But then again, it seems that's all it takes for the ears of Jesus to perk up and his mercy to kick in. Amen.
For the us profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Holy God, you are the source of our strength in this life. Be with us in the face of trials, and help us to fully rely on you when we struggle through the storms of life. Give us courage to let go of that which we cannot control, and trust that you have our best interest in mind always, because of your great love for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for all families, for husbands and wives to live in faithfulness to each other, for all expectant mothers, and for all children, and for those who bring them to baptism and nurture them in the faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you are the source of our salvation. We pray for those outside of the kingdom, for missionaries near and far, for the ministers and agencies of the Church whereby the gospel is spoken to those who have not heard, and for those who hear, that they may be brought to faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of healing, we pray for the healing of the sick, the relief of the suffering, the comfort of the grieving, and the peace of the dying. We pray for former Calvary member and friend Marion Youngquist, and for those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Sing.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.